This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael. Man, last night's hockey game was pretty intense. Las Vegas' defenseman Braden McNabb left Thursday's game to loss in the Stanley Cup Final against the Hurricanes after taking a puck to his face in the first period. That was coming, like, you could, it was slow motion and he's watching it come at his face and his mouth just kind of drops, his jaw drops, and then bam, right on his nose. And you could see the nose like turn after the puck left his face. That was bad, dude.
It was real pucked up.
That's got to be one of the worst things. Like that and a 90 mile hour fastball hitting you in the face. Like, there's a lot of crazy things that happen in sports, but getting hit in the face by a puck or a baseball, probably one of the more dangerous things.
I would find those two more dangerous than getting, like, the strongest, toughest linebacker or safety spearing you right in the head. I'd rather have that happen than get hit in the face with a baseball or a puck.
No update from Coach John Tortorella on McNabb this morning to confirm whether or not he was going to be traveling home with the team. Game 3 is Saturday in Las Vegas. So, yeah, scary moment there for sure. Baker Mayfield, on contract talks with the Buccaneers, says they're not anywhere close on their deal. According to Jenna Lane of ESPN, he was asked specifically about his contract extension, and he said, "We're not anywhere close to what we're thinking. Time to get something done long term," is what he said. So Mayfield said, "Obviously, yes, I would love to have a long term deal done, but they know my deadline. As soon as training camp starts, we're not doing any contract stuff. It's all ball. It's not up to me and when that gets done. So hopefully before that. If not, still going to have a good year." He's entering the third year of a 3-year contract extension signed in 2024. Baker Mayfield's an interesting case, Mike. He was very good through the first half of the season, and then not so much the second half. So you can see why Tampa Bay would kind of perhaps be a little hesitant to sign him to a long-term deal going forward.
I feel the same way.
His entire career has been trying to prove people wrong, and he's better when he's doubted. He's just better when he's doubted. When people start to believe is when Baker kind of starts to struggle.
I think the entire city of Cleveland believed in him, but the franchise of the Browns doubted him.
He got a raw deal there. Anybody that goes to Cleveland.
All those awesome commercials.
The Chicago Bears, for now, took a significant step toward leaving Illinois on Friday. The Bears' board of directors voted Thursday to advance their stadium development in Hammond, Indiana, with the exact site still to be determined. This is the first time that the Bears board has voted on any stadium site. They plan to leave the state they've called home since their inception for Indiana. Man.
So I'm just going to start calling them Indiana Bears.
That's tough. But Bears chairman George H. McCaskey and CEO Kevin Warren said in a joint statement, "We believe in a world-class stadium project in Hammond will transform the region, connecting northwest Indiana and the south side of Chicago through the loop and across the neighborhood and suburbs stretching north of the city." That is going to be so weird. Like, we've had teams change, You know, the Raiders have done it 477 times. The Rams have done it. A few teams have done it.
But this Cardinals, is the original this is one Chicago
of your,
team.
This is one of your staples. And it just it would feel weird not to have the Chicago Bears.
Greeley has like 35,000 more people than Hammond.
Is it? Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's pretty small.
Only 77,897 people, according to the 2020 census.
Isn't it kind of surrounded by everything, though?
It is. It's like right adjacent to the state of Chicago.
Yeah.
So they're not state
or
of Chicago.
City of Chicago.
Me, the state of Illinois. Yeah. So they're not moving very far.
Yeah, true. But it's still like the name. I wanted to get Faith's take on this because she's a big Bears fan. She said, yes, it's quite a travesty that they couldn't come to an agreement to keep the Bears in Chicago or at least keep them in the state of Illinois. The sweet Hollis forefathers and mothers are turning...
Hollis.
There we go. Yeah, I said it. Third time's a charm, Mike. Turning in their graves for sure. Yeah.
I bet this is probably unbearable for Chicago fans.
Stop. Do you ever just stop? Like, it's not funny. You're cracking yourself up, and it's not funny.
Well, half of the reason is you hate it so much.
I hate it, or
you hate that great pun
creating the puns. Oh, here's an interesting one, Michael, because college sports doesn't have enough issues. The hero, according to ESPN, the hero of Alabama State's first NCAA tournament win, and three of his teammates on the 24-25 team were ruled permanently ineligible for accepting payment from gamblers to fix the outcome of a game that season. The NCAA announced and discovered today. Amar Knox, Sean Fulcher, Corey Hines, and Tony Madlock allegedly engaged in game manipulation when Alabama State played at Southern Miss on December 5th, 2024. Southern Miss was a six-point favorite and won 81-64. According to the NCAA, two known bettors offered the players a total of $2,000 to throw the game. The players accepted and were later paid. Knox, Hines, and Madlock were Alabama State's top three scorers for the 24-25 season, and Fulcher was a reserve. Knox's layup with a second left lifted the Hornets to their first NCAA tournament win, 70-68 over St. Francis in 2025 first four. Two bettors were indicted in January, the two of them, by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania on wire fraud and bribery charges related to sports contests. The NCAA discovered the game fixing after Hines transferred to Temple, which notified the enforcement staff that Hines had been contacted by the FBI and shown text messages concerning a sports integrity issue when he was at Alabama State. None of the players were active on a college team last season. Boy, and this is why, like, with the Texas Tech guy, Sorsby, this is why they have to stay, you know, be steadfast in this and not allow him to come back to college sports, because this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, even if it was like the most benign thing, if he was backup quarterback, he's like, I have faith in my team. I'm Micah Kilpatrick. I'm betting on them. Like, even that is inappropriate.
You got to know you're going to get caught. Like, they're going to find out. Somehow, they're going to find out, I guess. Crazy. They discovered the game fixing after one of the players transferred to Temple and then notified the enforcement staff that Hines had been contacted by the FBI, because the FBI got a hold of the two bettors. They got them first and then started going through all their stuff.
So basically, they have to go below Division II, because I think they're actually ineligible for, basketball doesn't have a Division II, but I think they have to go outside the NCAA to play basketball in college.
Well, they didn't even play last year. They weren't active last year. So they probably knew stuff was going on. It's just, we're just now getting the reports of this.
So is that win vacated? Is the tournament win vacated?
No. Well, I don't know.
Because it was a loss, and they still got into the tournament. So I don't know if I would...
Probably not. Because they were supposed to lose anyway to Southern Miss. Because Southern Miss was a six-point favorite and won 81-64. So it's like they didn't even have, I mean, they were already dogs in the game, but to ensure that they would lose and probably not cover the spread, the 6-point spread, these players were contacted. Lot of issues, man. And well, I don't even think this issue is on the, is one of the bullet points in trying to fix the save, fix, protect college sports or whatever it is.
You come down hard on these athletes. You come down hard on the people bribing them. You're going to see less of it. Like if you
cannot allow Sorsby to play another down in college football. And now he's going to be up. If he doesn't go back to college football, he's going to be up for the, what do you call it, the draft? It's not the actual draft. It's the what draft? Where players that didn't get in, what is it called? Can't think of it right now.
Are you saying he's going to be an unsigned free agent?
Yeah, but even then, I don't know if NFL teams. I know Monken, the Browns coach, was talking about, believe it or not, they were talking about another quarterback. He was just basically saying how tricky it's going to be for the NFL to try to sign a guy like that. Because if the NFL is trying to crack down on it, you can't bring a guy in that has a self-admitted gambling problem in sports particularly and would not be allowed to finish his career in the NCAA. I don't see how the NFL would want to touch that.
I mean, there's that second-tier league that plays in the spring, or you could go to Canada. I don't know what they think of that, but you ruined your future by taking what? It was probably a couple $1,000s.
Mm-hmm.
You ruined your future. You ruined any possibility.
Yeah, I mean, they offered the players a total of $2,000 to throw the game.
So total, your future.
They totaled, and that's between four players. To get $2,000. Supplemental draft, that's what it is. Thank you. Thank you, Smitty. I wouldn't bring Sorsby into the NFL.
No.
Damn sure wouldn't let him play in the NCAA.
Like if he was
this only
really,
hurts his
really
case.
Good.
This hurts. Because this is why.
If
you can't have players that are like, yeah, I have a gambling problem when it comes to sports, but no, please let me continue to sports.
If you were like one of the best players in college football history, if you were a generational talent, you're still dropping.
Yeah.
You're still dropping. You're not going number one overall. People are going, this guy's got a lot of problems.
Gambling is the ultimate, Mike. Like we talked about, to start the show, we talked about the Jonathan Cooper story. How many times have I told you, you can get into a lot of trouble, but if you manipulate the game in any way, that's considered almost worse, which it's not. You know, is Tom Brady deflating a football as bad as Ray Rice's situation? No. But at the time, before there were more videos, Tom Brady was going to get more of a suspension than Ray Rice.
Yeah.
But then they discovered the second half of the video, which, again, that story is just so stupid. They admitted to believing that he was the one who caused his then-fiance to be knocked out, but they didn't see him actually do it, so they said, we're going to suspend him for 2 games. That was all the while Tom Brady's investigation for Deflategate was going on, and they suspended Tom for 4 games. And then TMZ released the second portion of that video, which actually showed Ray Rice punching his then-fiance
and
knocking
he hit
her out. And then they said, oh, yeah, never mind, you're out. What did you think happened? If you didn't think anything happened, you shouldn't have suspended him for 2 games. Clearly, you thought he was the reason she was knocked unconscious on the ground. So you gave him 2 games for that. That's what I'm saying. You mess with the game, gambling, Deflategate, Spygate, whatever, they're pretty damn strict. And the same, you know, goes with gambling. If they get a whiff of it, because that hurts everything.
I mean, those players who even gambled, whether they gambled on the NFL or not, there were several players a couple years ago who got suspended.
Yeah.
Like, the entire season.
Do you think that, here's a question. If people gambled on that game, the Southern Miss-Alabama State game, and they gambled on Alabama State to cover and or win, do you think that they have a case to go after gambling companies and say, I want my money back for that game?
Absolutely.
If they bet on Alabama State?
Absolutely.
I would think so.
Because the game was affected. False pretenses. That score was not supposed to be what it was.
You got four guys that allegedly engaged in game manipulation. four guys, three starters, one reserve.
Yeah, and how many people, I mean, not a lot of people gambled on that, but, you know, there are some out there like, well, what am I going to do?
It's on, tonight? I might watch it. Yeah, maybe you got a tip. Yeah, I don't know. That's curious to me. If some of these games that are getting discovered that players gambled on specifically and your bet got affected by that in the negative way, I'd be curious to see if anybody has cases.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. And if they get their money back, which they should, the gambling platforms are not going to be happy, and they're going to be cracking down even more.
Yeah, even more. And this is recent. This was a recent thing. This was 2024. This was December 5th, 2024, when this happened. Not that long, a year and a half ago. That's wild. And it's probably happened a lot more than we even know. I mean, you kind of luck into discovering these when the two bettors got caught. And then they were going through all their stuff and found, oh, you reached out to players. Well, now we're going after the players, too.
Yeah. In my mind, the players doing it is worse. So they should be punished more than the gamblers. But the gamblers should definitely be, your name can no longer be on any gambling platform. You can no longer go into any casino. Like, that should be the biggest punishment for them. Is like, oh, this thing that runs your life, can't do it anymore.
Well, I don't know about that. It's like telling an alcoholic they can't go to a bar if they get a DUI or something. I mean, I don't think so. Texter says, the reason sports leagues and now college teams are so strict with gambling is because they know the government can crack down on their leagues if it's not all in the up and up, evidenced by the Black Sox scandal. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. That scandal, all the other kind of stuff that gets close to tampering or gambling with the games, that is the ultimate sin that you can commit if you're playing or coaching in any of these leagues, because the gambling stuff really runs a lot. I mean, there's a lot of money that's being thrown at the college games and the professional games. Derb's texting, if the game result still stands, the sportsbook cannot refund or void bets. It's built into most of the house rules. Okay, interesting. So I guess it's buyer beware. So, hey, you could gamble on this game, but just know that there could be cheating. I guess if it's in the bylaws of it, then, you know, we're all fools for gambling.
If I'm still the gambling platforms, I get together with everybody and I say, if you find someone who's cheating, if you find like a player who's doing something, we blacklist everybody who was involved in the cheating. They cannot go to any of our casinos or anything. You just
they might say the game result doesn't stand and they just call it a no contest. They could, even though the favorite in that game was Southern Miss and they still won. But I'd be curious to see if they just wipe that out, because it didn't affect Alabama State, because they still went to March Madness. That obviously, that was a loss for them, so it didn't mess with that at all. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, still, I don't think they'll call it a no contest, because the gambling lobby will say, well, wait a minute, hang on, we owe people a bunch of money. That's not fair to us.
They could, though. I'm not sure. They're still investigating this, too, because it's still it says in the report that those four players allegedly engaged in game manipulation. But then all four of those players, just for whatever reason, were not on an active roster this last season. 24 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's take a quick break here. Coming up, Sean Payton's thoughts on Jaylen Waddle and on Davis Webb. Are we going to, I would imagine we're not going to start feeling the effects of Davis Webb as the play caller in OTAs, but we'll hear from the head coach, because that was a pretty significant change the Broncos made in naming him the offensive coordinator, the one calling plays. 25 after the hour. We'll be right back.
Two teams, no parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor with my guy Ryan Hicks. If you want to try not to lose what you've been working so hard for, call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. All right, we got a little more news on Jonathan Cooper here. This from ESPN, from Jeff Legwald, who covers the Broncos for ESPN. We know that Jonathan Cooper was arrested early Friday morning on domestic violence charges. According to jail records, Cooper was being held at the Douglas County Jail on the suspicion of criminal mischief with a domestic violence enhancer. Sources told ESPN that the arrest came after an argument and physical confrontation between Cooper and his girlfriend over cell phones, and that the phones were damaged in the incident. According to records, Cooper was arrested by Parker police at 11:16 p.m. Mountain Time on Thursday, formally booked into the Douglas County Jail at 2:38 this morning. As of 11 a.m. Friday, Cooper was still in custody. He appeared in court Friday morning and is scheduled to appear again Monday. Spokesperson for the Parker police said there was no information to release as of Friday morning. All the Broncos have said in a statement so far is we are aware of the matter and gathering more information.
Mm. No news on Von Miller.
No, not yet. He just signed a four-year, $60 million. Well, I guess in 2024, a four-year, $60 million contract extension. Leak. That's a rough way to end the week, man.
How much of that? Do you know how much of that was guaranteed
money?
I don't
know. I'm not sure. I don't know right off the top of my head.
Because if they have to cut him, which I don't think they will, but
no.
If somehow this got worse and they had to cut him, they'd be eating a lot. They wouldn't be able to have the signing bonus returned or any of the guaranteed money.
Physical confrontation between Cooper and his girlfriend over cell phones. So does that mean they had a physical confrontation and it was involving cell phones? There was something maybe on cell phones, and it was like, what is this kind of deal? I don't know.
What is this woman? Why do you have your number in her phone?
Or vice versa.
Unlock it for me.
Or vice versa.
And yeah,
the phones were damaged in the incident. And again, if that was all, then who knows? Phones were damaged. But that's all we have, right? We have actually physical confrontation verbiage between Cooper and his girlfriend over cell phones. And that the phones were damaged in the incident. Guessing throwing of the cell phones. So we'll find out how serious it really is. Sounds fairly serious.
Sounds serious, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. First Advance text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, on to actual football stuff for Sean Payton and company. Just how exciting is it to have Jalen Waddle on this team? Everything I'm reading and looking into, the guy is as good as advertised, smaller than a lot of people thought, but just ridiculous speed and route running ability. Here's Sean Payton on talking about the trade and everything that they were seeking and what they ultimately were looking for when it comes to a guy like Jalen Waddle.
You could start slot to outside or go outside to slot, just pick. There was a crystal clear vision prior to the trade as to, all right, this is what we see, this is where he plays, and these are the things that we feel like he's exceptional at, and then let's apply him into what we're doing.
They're going to be able to move him all over the field. And again, like we talked about yesterday, that is going to open up everything on this offense.
So what you're saying is we have another Joker?
I don't know. What is a Joker, anyway?
It's a great character written by DC.
Why do you always have to do weird things?
Voiced expertly by...
Well, can I just ask you a question and you just answer like a normal person?
That I am a normal person.
No. 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 I think the Joker thing was just like, it's a guy that can occasionally run the ball if we need him to. Run a reverse. But be a really good route runner. I don't know. R.J. Harvey was probably pretty close to that. Isn't a Joker just a running back that can catch the ball? Or a receiver that can run the ball? Isn't that what it is? Like, we overcomplicated this thing? Because Evan Ingram thought he was going to be the Joker. That wasn't close. Marvin Mims thought he was going to be the Joker. Not really.
Great on Harvey, special teams.
R.J. Harvey, that's not what the Joker is, though. It's not a special teams guy.
I know, but I'm saying, like, Marvin Mims is great on special teams.
I don't even know.
I was kind of hoping he'd be more of a downfield guy.
I don't even know if Marvin Mims will be on the roster.
You're starting to get deeper.
I mean, you got Cortland Sutton, Jalen Waddle, Pat Bryant. I mean, there's Michael Bandy, who I think is kind of hurt. Well, maybe he'll be on the roster, but he has a contract coming up. You have Troy Franklin. I think Lil Jordan Humphrey's still on the roster.
And we all know what Sean Payton thinks of Lil Jordan Humphrey.
He loves him some Lil Jordan Humphrey. You know another guy I'm worried about? How about their first-round pick last year? Jahdae Barron. Didn't actually participate yesterday. Not a healthy scratch or anything, just wasn't suited up.
Was he there?
Yeah, he was there. But not...
Any news on injury?
Nothing that I've seen. Just that he was... Not out, not playing, didn't have gloves on, wasn't participating. And really didn't, I think he only had a handful of snaps in their last game. That was against the Bills. I don't even know if he played against the Patriots.
Yeah, I remember being very excited about him. And,
well, I remember being like, oh, really? You're deep there. Why'd you go that route? And then Jaquan McMillan just said, you know what? You drafted my replacement.
Hold my beer.
I'll just go have an awesome year and save a playoff game. Like, that's
what
I'll do.
Boy, was that a save.
One of the greatest playoff plays. Maybe in Broncos history. One of them. Not the, but one of them.
No, it's not the helicopter.
No, it's not the helicopter. It's not the DT Tebow connection. But that's up there. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Faith texting in on the Jonathan Cooper thing. Someone was trying to snoop in someone's phone. That was my first thought. Rumor mill started churning and grabbed a phone. Whichever side, I don't know which. Got upset, chucked a phone. Maybe the other person said, I'll do you one better. I'll grab your phone. I'm going to check your phone.
I mean, that's what I assumed from the beginning. I know a lot of people are very, oh, hey, honey, this is my phone. You know the password to it. I trust you.
Bad news if you are in a relationship. Bad news on both sides. If one person asks to see your phone to look at something and your first instinct is, no, bad news. Bad news on your side. Are we getting more of this? Tanner said he apparently, is that real? Is that out there? She accused him of cheating. He apparently bit her cell phone and caused damage and she chucked his phone.
Bit her cell phone?
Apparently. Where is this? I have to find it.
It sounds very made up. Biting part.
Oh, I could see someone biting a cell phone. You never biting just want to bite a cell phone?
I've never bit a cell phone. I've thrown a cell phone many times.
Well, that throwing is a cousin of biting. Okay, here it is. Who's this from, Tanner? Who is this from? Mile High Report. According to the arrest affidavit, his girlfriend was arguing with Cooper over cheating allegations in his apartment. She admitted that she grabbed Cooper's phone from him and threw it across the room. So who's being accused of cheating? His girlfriend was arguing with Cooper over cheating allegations in his apartment.
I assumed from the beginning.
It was
like, as soon as I heard cell phones, he was cheating.
Allegedly. She admitted that she grabbed Cooper's phone from him and threw it across the room, then picked it up to go through it. So she's accusing him. Cooper then got into a physical struggle with her, grabbed her arm, and took his phone back, according to the affidavit. She then tried to take the phone back, and Cooper braced his neck against her neck to prevent her from getting his phone. I'm trying to picture that in my mind. The affidavit reads, after the physical struggle was over, Cooper admitted that he told her that he was going to break her phone if she did not leave the apartment, and that he bit her phone when she did not leave, causing disabling damage, according to the affidavit. I mean, you could just slam it on the ground and break it that way. But
I mean, this is a bad situation, but I thought it was so much worse.
Like, this is worse than what you thought, or is
no,
this less?
No, I thought...
I feel like it's
in
less.
In my imagination, it was worse than this.
I think this is less. I think he's going to... It's just going to be a kooky story. I'm not trying to put it lightly, but it's going to be just a spouse... Or a disagreement. It's not spouse, but you know what I mean. And they were breaking cell phones. Now, did he... You know, a physical altercation. It says, like, he braced his neck against hers to keep her... Again... I don't know how serious that's going to be.
And I don't know which side of the story it's coming from.
Maybe don't call Vaughn just yet. Maybe don't call Vaughn Miller's agent just yet.
I mean, call him anyway.
See what he's up to?
He was up to, is like, hey, you know, if we have to cut one of our guys, you want to hang out on the practice squad? Because he won't. You know, like, he wants to be with the Broncos, but someone will sign him. A couple weeks into the season... Someone would sign him off the Broncos practice squad.
Faith says, dang, he has some strong teeth if he caused damage or it's a cheap phone. I don't know. You care to test it? Bite your phone.
I'm not mad at my phone right now.
Just bite it for the sake of the show.
No. I was supposed to get on Twitter for the sake of the show. I'll get on Twitter if the Denver Broncos start following me.
Zero chance of that happening.
Oh, yeah, I agree. No, 0.01%.
Well, there you go, Hooligans. Get the Broncos to follow Michael, and there we go. Eastside Chris, sounds like a great Judge Judy episode. Yeah.
You know, she's not a real judge.
Her name's Judge Judy.
Yeah, that's a title. She's not a real judge. That stuff.
She wears
like,
the black robe and has a gavel.
It's pink now.
Oh, really?
I think so.
She has a pink robe? Okay, she's not a real judge.
Yeah, I think when she signed a new contract with whatever.
Is she really
company.
Not a real judge? So she's really not a real judge?
I know she's a lawyer, but
was
I don't
she
think
a real
she's
judge?
Ever. She's a real judge right now.
Apparently, people Google this a lot. She's a retired real life family court judge, Michael. See, this is why you can't just say things. But on her television
retired,
shows,
though.
She serves as an arbitrator rather than an active sitting judge in a formal state or federal courtroom.
She just has a really great personality. So, like, she makes a lot of money because she's able to do stuff like that.
Text her, bite it and report back on X, Michael. Bite your phone.
I'm not going to bite my phone.
Bite your phone. That's the only way we're going to prove this.
Brady, bite your phone.
Mine's way more important than yours.
No, mine's very important. Mm-mm. Mine has a lot of pictures on it.
Well, save them somewhere and then bite your phone. I want to see how much it takes to ruin a phone.
No. You could ask Tanner.
Smitty says Judge Judy is as much of a judge as Michael is a co-host.
Oh, so she is a judge.
She was a judge.
But she is.
But now she's like a caricature.
She's a judge now.
She's a caricature, like you. Maybe at one point you could have been a co-host, but now you're what you are. Don't tell me.
The greatest co-host ever.
Don't tell me to take a break. We'll take a break. No.
Break.
No.
Break.
I'm not ready.
Bite your phone.
You bite your phone. Bite your phone, Michael. This could be we could win a CBA this way.
No.
We had Michael Kirkpatrick bite his phone on the air.
Need more ranting from me. That'll get us to CBA.
Yeah. Lego. The new Lego movie was really great. Okay, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You're looking for some family summer fun this year? Check out the Fort Collins Foxes. The Foxes are a collegiate summer baseball team as players come from all over the world to Fort Collins to spend their summer high-level baseball. And it didn't get any higher level-y than it did last year for the Foxes, who went 32-7 last year, winning their league championship and amazing memorabilia. The logo is straight up fire. FortCollinsFoxes.com for ticket and team information. What?
Brady, did you just say straight up fire?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
What are you, like, 15?
Oh my gosh, you're telling me I'm 15. You play with toys. You play with toys back there. You have your little jets and you pew, 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 Captain Kirk, oh no. Yeah, you play with
those
toys.
Those aren't jets, those are starships, and I don't make noise. Those are kind of like
collectibles. They're collectibles. They're not toys.
Isn't that what every nerd says that plays with toys? They're collectibles.
Because it's true.
Well, what about your Legos? You play with Legos.
Look, Legos are for adults. You should actually look up the bricks and minifigs controversy.
I will not be doing that ever.
And for the record, that has nothing to do with the ones in Colorado. It's an Oregon, Utah thing.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up, because people wanted to know.
I've been very obsessed with it.
I don't care.
You do?
No. You're going to give me crap for saying fire when you play with toys.
Slay.
Stop. I don't. Turn around. Go to the corner. Sit over there. Just think about it.
I have nieces and nephews who are teenagers, and I love using their slang wrong.
Bite your phone. Is what I would like to happen. He said,
my
Chris,
phone is fire.
Does one eat their cell phone like eating an elephant? Does Michael get a vacation? If so, can it be extended? Dixon texting in.
I will be off next Thursday.
Oh, thank God. I mean, dang it. Hope you're okay. Hope everything's okay. Take an extended vacation. 49 minutes after the hour. Quick break coming up. We're going to review Varsity Blues. I'm bringing in one of my best friends ever, maybe my best friend, Derbs, the dude down the hall. And then we'll have another guy join us.
He's my best friend.
Tanner's your best friend?
Yes, we're friends.
Yeah, actually, there's so many similarities between the two of you. It seems like you guys are the best of friends.
Yeah, we are pretty similar in some ways.
We'll be right back.
Win tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up, this will be nice, you know, with all the weird Jonathan Cooper news today. This will be nice to kind of take a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk sports movies as we review Varsity Blues. And Hooligans, I want to know, start it, bench it, or cut it? Last week we did For Love of the Game, controversial review. Michael hated it. I was probably leaning more to the bench it, but you pissed me off, so I started it. I kind of regret that. I think I'm probably benching For Love of the Game. We can do that, right? Can we go back and amend our ratings? Can we do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, some games have been amended in college sports because of gambling.
So I'm going to change For Love of the Game to a bench it. Will I start Varsity Blues? How about Derbs? How about, what's his name? Tanner. You know?
My friend.
Your best friend, probably, right? You guys are almost brothers.
I mean, we're so similar.
Inseparable.
I mean, he's a little more likable.
Yeah.
And I'm a little more right about everything.
All right. Varsity Blues review coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.